This podcast is a product of the Hyper RPG Podcasting Network. Visit hyperrabbitpowergo.com to learn more.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Ready to Ramble! Wrestling show here at Hyper RPG. We got a huge thing to talk about. We got Survivor Series results. Ooh. And we got the fallout on Raw and SmackDown. And there was also a Ring of Honor show where Christopher Daniels got real burned.
Real burned.
Also NXT. We got NXT. Yes. And also, I guess, I haven't, a friend of mine hit me up to tell me that I guess Survivor Series next year will be in L.A.
It's going to be in L.A.
We got a big tour. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. So, it's going to be a fun weekend. Ready.
It's going to be fun.
So that means
we will be there. We will be there.
So excited.
So that also means we're going to get an NXT takeover here, too.
Oh, yay. Yeah.
So that'll be real dope.
That's happening.
Oh, I can't wait.
That is awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think those are the big things we're going to be talking about. Pretty simple show today because there's a lot to talk about. And Survivor Series is one of the big four. And let's start. And also, we do have the challenges between ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who won? What happened? Things of that nature.
Somebody's going to get that belt. It's not here right now. It's in here. I'm holding it in here. I'm holding it hostage.
Appropriately.
Because it's currently mine.
It should appropriately be.
Oh, is it yours right now?
What's that?
Did you win the last challenge?
Last time we all tied. So I'm technically still the champion of the previous pay-per-view from Hell in a Cell.
By rules, technically, that is very true. Yep. But I guess let's talk about Ring of Honor first.
Okay, Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor. So Ring of Honor had their Survival of the Fittest.
Yes, which was it was a 3-day. Yeah, that's right, 3-day event. With the Bullet Club being a large part of it, obviously. Dalton Castle versus Marty Scurll on one of the nights. Result was the third night, the Texas Death Match. I think that had to have been the finale. Right?
I think actually the second night was because they were in. Were they in Dallas, Texas every night? The whole San Antonio. They were in Texas the whole time, but I think. Chris Daniels was night two.
Okay.
Yeah, because they were in Oklahoma night three.
Okay. So they went to different cities. Okay. So this is interesting. So go ahead and scroll on up. I want to see actually, because I didn't get a chance to check out the pay-per-view. I will be looking at this match specifically. But Dalton Castle, I want to see. Did he beat Marty Scurll? Because they are working Dalton Castle's way up to Cody Rhodes eventually. Is that a subscriber?
Yeah, someone subscribed. We got the speakers on. I don't know if people can hear this, but we can hear it. So thank you. Thank you for those watching on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed, go subscribe to the channel.
That was awesome. All right. So underneath the Kisei Punishment, Martinez beat Jay Lethal. That's actually kind of a big deal. All right. Scroll on down. Kingdom. Oh, the Kingdom actually beat. All right. Search and Destroy. Dalton Castle did defeat Marty Scurll. Interesting. Okay, so they are building. So they're building Dalton up correctly. Mm-hmm. So we have Bullet Club, and that would be Cody, Kenny, and the Bucks, and Stephen Amell.
So Stephen Amell,
that is a trip.
That was the other thing. Stephen Amell officially joined the Bullet Club.
Yeah, Stephen Amell. No surprise, right? Well, actually, I'm a little surprised, but I think that's awesome because he's obviously Cody Rhodes, you know, a good friend of Cody's.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was the thing. People thought. I think Stephen Amell. Cody was bringing him in, but was it going to be like a SummerSlam rematch? Yeah. What was going to happen here with Cody not being Stardust? So the fact that he's joining up with Cody is, it is interesting.
It does make it more legit than that SummerSlam match, though, you know?
Oh, 100%.
Of course. To go in the indies and have that cred, that's dope.
I'm sure he gets to do more moves and have a better appearance.
I wonder how the insurance company does. They still probably come into play for his, you know, Arrow.
Yeah,
for sure. Keeping him safe. But he's his own man. He's part of the Bullet Club. He's going to do what he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to getting a Stephen Amell Bullet Club shirt.
I know. I want one too. Actually, they have one.
So this whole 3-day event seemed to be built around the culmination of this feud between Christopher Daniels and Cody Rhodes, the Addiction and the Bullet Club, which resulted in the Texas Death Match, apparently a night two. So I don't know what the third night's main event was, but Cody Rhodes and Christopher Daniels, Cody won over Christopher Daniels, but we do want to show you something awesome.
So this was a little bit into the night. This was like, I don't know if this ended the match. So I gotta watch. We gotta watch.
Again, we
had a lot of wrestling to watch this week with NXT Survivor Series, the two shows.
8 hours of Survivor Series.
Huge. So we will be going back and watching Ring of Honor. But this is how I don't know if this is how the match ended, but what a moment in the match nonetheless. So Christopher Daniels pulls a Mick Foley. He lights this table on fire.
Oh my God.
Cody Rhodes. My God. So here's the thing.
That's awesome.
That might, again, like I say, like, oh, he's pulling. And Cody Rhodes said, this chapter of my career with Christopher Daniels has been full of surprises, and I'm better for it. It ended tonight. Thank you, Dallas. So then Christopher Daniels tweeted out photos of what he looks like now after that taking that bump. And we want to pull up these photos.
Ouch!
Oh, yeah. My God.
His angel wings are burned.
That is. Those are third degree, right?
Yeah.
Those are pretty bad.
Like, I don't know what the... Yeah.
Like, first degree is like a basic burn. Second, yeah. I think second... Well, maybe not third. Third is like when you kill nerve endings. So this is second degree because like skin's obviously coming off.
Because that's right around where his leotard...
yeah, you could see where the leotard was, and this is where the leotard was not.
Wow!
So
he's got angel wings.
Yeah, holy smokes, Christopher Daniels, and then the rest of his Twitter is doing Black Friday and Christmas sales. So good for him.
He must go buy something.
He must be recuperating. Okay. And now that I'm on Iffy's Twitter, I'm gonna follow Christopher Daniels.
That's so great.
And I don't care. Sorry, Iffy, you should have logged
It's funny because Iffy probably hasn't been here for a bit, and it's just been logged in, and like we just leave it logged in. And he's gonna come back and be like, "Who knows my password?" It's like, no, you just left it, dude.
No, you left it, bro.
These new people now.
And actually, I guess we could. You know what? That's actually something. This just dawned on me. So last second thing. Austin Aries, he was on the House of Hardcore show this last weekend. Did you guys hear about this?
No, I didn't.
So Austin Aries went in. Let me pull up WrestleZone and find this. It's the first time he's ever addressed the WWE stuff outside of like tweets. So this actually might take me a moment. But basically, the House of Hardcore is it looks like it's another Twitch wrestling show.
Oh, they move. That's awesome.
Yeah,
because for those who don't know, Tommy Dreamer is that's his promotion. So that's So yeah, and, it seems to be a pattern.
Ryan Nemeth, who's a friend of mine, he performed on it, so I'm gonna try and see if we can get Ryan to come in here.
Yeah, that would be great.
And talk with us about that, because I think that's really, really great. WrestleZone, why can't you have a better search engine? Basically, what he talked about was it was a very long thing in the ring, like he was in the ring. This is it. I'm relieved.
Oh, he said all that.
Oh, this was in the ring doing a promo.
Oh, his promo.
So to read this whole thing would be a bit much. But basically, so here's some real quick. For 17 years, I worked my ass off to be considered one of the best step inside this ring. I've worked my ass off to be the best with this microphone in my hand, and I've earned that reputation. I've also earned another reputation. That's the reputation of being an asshole. That's the reputation
just
of being
like
hard to work with.
Ooh.
Woo! Smoking. Or as Jim Cornette would say, a professional malcontent. Mm-hmm. Or as Vince Russo would like to say, somebody I don't like to work with.
Ooh.
See, somewhere along the way, I started to embrace that. Hell, I thought if the only thing Jim Cornette and Vince Russo could agree on is that they don't like Austin Aries, that's a bit badge of fucking honor.
Huh. Ooh, wow. Spicy.
But you see, I've earned that reputation. I have to own up to it. That reputation has followed me and followed me to WWE. You see, when I walked in the door there, I was told under no certain circumstances that they knew about my reputation. Mm. They were apprehensive about bringing me in there because of the things that they had heard. I really felt from day one that everything was a test.
Oh.
I passed some of those tests, and I'm man enough to admit that I failed some of those tests. So the truth behind why Austin Aries was fired isn't because of creative couldn't find anything for me. How do you not find something creative for Austin fucking Aries?
Okay.
The truth is, I got let go because I probably deserved to be. That's right. They didn't find anything for me because they didn't want to find anything for me because I was miserable. And I wasn't miserable, responding to a fan jeering, wait, sir, you don't have any problems in your life. You're perfect.
You're perfect, right?
Again, this is all in the ring.
Okay.
So he talks about how during WrestleMania 33, he was depressed. and all these other things. So it's a fascinating brother. Thing. He ends it with, I recently put on a post on my Instagram account, and the quote said, "The truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off." Well, Austin where Aries has been pissed off long enough, and thanks to House of Hardcore, and thanks to most of you people here tonight, I can finally be free. Thank you, and I love you all. Even you assholes in the front row, I love you guys.
Okay, hey, good okay. for Austin Aries.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think all of that is because it's on Twitch, so go check that out. And yeah, good for him. He's a super talented guy. I know he was somebody I wish could have done more WWE because he was amazing on the microphone. Yeah. When he got injured, he was great on color.
On commentary, yeah.
And I guess we'll also tie in a little bit with Survivor Series. Neville, no return. I know we kind of were talking about that.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
rumor of was he going to get into the end zone match? Was something going to happen? As of right now, Wednesday, 205, nothing still so far. Neville-wise this week. But there were some other returns. We will talk about those as we go on. But yeah, so Ring of Honor, I guess we'll also look at what was night three after you put a man through a table.
Yeah, like what do you do?
Well, night three is in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
You got Marty Scurll, Red Titus, Joey Ryan. Okay, let's see. Cody, Dalton Castle. Oh, beat Christopher Daniels. That's interesting. Okay, so we had Young Bucks defeated the Kingdom. All right, and then it seems the main event was Punishment Martinez. Beat Flip Gordon, Silas Young, Jonathan Gresham, Shane Taylor, and Matt Taven. All right, so that's the Survival of the Fittest tournament. Okay, so that was what was leading up. So the previous nights were that. So that's what you do. So the whole night was essentially just a tournament. The whole event was a tournament, and that's why a man went through a table on fire the second night.
Beautiful.
And it's okay to have a main event the next night.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So Ring of Honor, so we'll watch some of that, and we'll report back next week.
Yeah, we're keeping up with that.
But obviously, the big thing, of course, was Survivor Series or Survivor Series week, which also includes NXT. I will admit, was not able to watch NXT TakeOver. That's the only thing I was not able to view.
I wasn't able to watch it either.
I was in there. I watched a few. I was in and out a few matches. I was playing some competitive Overwatch. Come on. But I had it on as well. So there were some interesting things on there. We did have, let's see, we're going to go through the card here. So we had Johnny Gargano versus Pete Dunne. So what I'm going to do also is put our predictions. I didn't get my predictions in time from Iffy.
Okay.
So Iffy's going to get a bye for this one. So this did count towards who Lucky overall Iffy. Won the art packages that we will be giving away. So
yes.
We have two winners for the overall weekend. So two art packages will be given away. There will also be a third art package given away to somebody that collectively has accumulated the most points between this pay-per-view and pay-per-view weekend and the other previous pay-per-views, because I want to reward people that have been there from the start.
Yeah, that's sweet.
So that's awesome. So we have Johnny Gargano versus Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne went over, and that was Pete Dunne chosen by Cameron, Janelle, and Kaori.
And what'd you think of the match?
That was good. That was a solid match. I love Pete Dunne. That one I actually was able to catch. Johnny. Okay. Oops. Why am I writing that? I got to just write. Okay. So we have Cassius Ohno versus Lars Sullivan. This was surprising to me because I caught that one as well. But we all picked Chris Hero, Mr. Cassius Ohno, to go over, and he did not. Lars Sullivan.
That was a surprise.
Well, maybe I guess because like I went with because Cassius Ohno is the more known, well-known, but he's also, Chris Hero's known for also doing well by the business and taking losses if it helps tell a story. So maybe I should have thought about that too.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, exactly.
I just went with the name.
this match, Aleister Black versus a Velveteen Dream, surprising. So surprising. Velveteen Dream popped off in this match. Like, this match was
That's what I've heard.
Solid,
I've heard a lot about this match.
Okay.
And even Kevin Owens tweeted, like, because the whole thing was like, you're going to be saying my name for a long time. And he said, like, Velveteen Dream, like, they're going to be saying your name for a long time. This was like the spots. There's beautiful DDT at the end. Very, very good match. So please go back and watch that. Aleister Black defeated him. We all picked Aleister Black to go over. So we all got a point for that.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I would say, was the match of the night, personally. Kairi Sane, Nikki Cross, Peyton Royce, and Ember Moon. We have Kairi Sane picked by Cameron, Kaori, and I picked my girl Peyton Royce, and none of us won.
I will say I'm actually happy it's Ember Moon. It's her time. I really like Ember Moon, but I thought for sure they were gonna go with because the internet's loving Kari Sane right now. Yeah. So I thought for sure it was gonna be Kari.
But did you see when Asuka presented Ember Moon the
yes.
That was a beautiful
that
moment.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Andrade Almas versus Drew McIntyre. I picked Mr. Almas. And they picked a Drew, so I won that point.
That one's yours.
Thank you very much. And then we have the Undisputed Era versus the Authors of Pain versus Sanity. This was a three-way. This was the main event. This was the War Games match.
Yes.
And that would
be... What a match.
Yeah, that was awesome. Undisputed Era, Adam Cole and Bobby Fish, they went over. So they won. We all picked that correctly. This one, there was a match added, Ruby Riott versus Sonya Deville. That was added last minute. That one didn't count towards, but Ruby Riott went over for that one.
Yeah, okay. I did watch the War Games match because there was an amazing gif of the chair shot.
Oh, yeah.
The chair shot, which was, again, this amazing gif. And I'm like, well, I don't have a lot of time, but I'm going to watch this match.
Yep, that was awesome. All right, cool. So
another solid NXT by all accounts. Everyone's saying this was really great. Which is awesome. And then that takes us into Survivor Series pre-show.
Yeah. I didn't see the pre-show, guys.
These ones won't count towards the two pre-show matches just because viewers also didn't have a time to put in because Pete didn't add them because once the show starts, it's locked and stuff. And so these one won't count, but these are just bonuses.
Okay.
No points. But so the two matches that were added last minute were Matt Hardy versus Elias and Kevin Owens and Sammy versus Breezango. So for fun, I did pick Kevin and Sammy and so did Iffy. Yes, they won, of course.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know if you can hear it a little bit. I'm getting over a mild cold. And Saturday night we had Thanksgiving and everything here, and then I went home and just got so sick, and I took all the NyQuil, and I woke up literally. And that's the other thing too. There was a lot of people talking about it online. So at five, I woke up at like 4:30, and I'm like, okay. And then I saw the text, and I was like, oh shit, I didn't get time to get these two picks in.
Yeah.
Oh well. But I was like, okay, it's 4:30. Great. Let me make what's now my breakfast and. I'll start Survivor Series. I start it and the Shield match is ending. It seems like I guess like the pay-per-view started a little early. I saw a couple of people talking about that on Twitter where they're like, what the hell?
It was totally good. Yeah.
Shit usually starts at 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were in there. They were in there, dog. All right, so...
So what did you think? I still actually have not seen the pre-show. So what did you think of this? So Kevin and Sammy were involved.
Yes.
They got the pre-show slot, which is often called the punishment slot.
We talked about this last week because, we talked about the possibility of them being added last minute to the pre-show. But I predicted that they would not only be on the pre-show, that they would be, interfering.
Yes.
So I'm very glad about that. But it is funny because it seems like they are kind of working the marks. Where it's like, oh crap, they're being punished because they're on the pre-show.
Yeah.
And it's almost like I'm excited by this because I don't know. I can't tell what's a work and what's not.
Well, and now SmackDown was almost entirely about those two guys. Right. And we'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was fascinating.
Going back to when they were sent home, I do think that was just a plant. I do think because I think that one thing that Vince likes to do was work the smarks the most. And to be like, I think if it was pitched to him, then it's like, okay, well, if you send us home because we're incorrigible, then people are going to be like up in arms about it, and of course,
yeah.
So that was cool. So then we move on. Oh, this was also part of the pre-show was Enzo Amore versus Kalisto. So this was part of the prediction. Enzo going over Kalisto, which all four of us predicted.
We brought up Neville. Pretty much the prediction was like unless. Neville gets involved and somehow and Neville never showed up. So yeah.
See, yep.
Yeah, there's a couple predictions we made. Neville didn't show up. James Ellsworth not seems like that was actually true that he got let go.
No money in the bank cash in.
No money in the bank and no money in the bank cash in. Yeah, those are the big three things we were kinda
I'm so mad because we all predicted the money in the bank was gonna get cashed in. Except for Iffy straight up said no.
Oh.
As long as he said no, not just no show.
Yeah.
But then, I guess stupid of us to forget that the next pay-per-view is Clash of Champions, which is a SmackDown. So it kind of makes sense literal show called the Clash of Champions.
Yeah, all right.
That maybe they'll have a double champion turnover.
Oh, but it would have been nice in the Big Four for her.
I know, for sure. And actually, that's another rumor, too. I mentioned Big Four. They're talking about that they might add a fifth. That came out today.
What
there
else
might
do
be
they
a
need?
Fifth crossover so one. I don't know.
Wouldn't you say it's more up to the fans to decide whether or not it's going to be a big, one of the big ones?
I know.
What can they fit it in?
I don't know. I'm wondering, do they make a new pay-per-view or do they grab one of the old ones? And if you grab one of the other ones, what do you grab? Maybe Hell in a Cell. Yeah. I think a lot of people are kind of like, oh, there's no SmackDown people in Hell in a Cell or Raw people this year. So maybe, but I think it's also WWE likes to take over a city and have an NXT takeover. So I get it. They probably bring in tons of money on their big four.
Yeah, totally. 100%. So let's go through. Okay, so we had, okay, so Enzo, that would be a point for all of us. 1, 2, 3 four.
Sweet.
Yes. What? What's up? No. I thought you said wait.
Like, oh, no.
Oh, sweet. She said sweet.
Sweet. Okay, great.
To wait.
To wait.
Right.
Yeah. Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles.
What a match.
That was
great. This was great.
And it was longer than a usual Brock Lesnar match, too.
100%. Yeah, that was a great match.
AJ
Heyman,
put on a great show.
Oh, my God. It was so good. Heyman sold the hell out of it, too. And Heyman sold the hell out of it after, too. Heyman, it was all over Twitter. Heyman did like a great promo about how great AJ Styles was. This was a fantastic match.
That was great. That was excellent.
Okay. And it's kind of the brutal Brock stuff we like to see. Like when he grabbed him and just
oh, gosh. He's so little. He's not little, but he's like, he's just a short guy.
I mean, next to Brock Lesnar.
Next to Brock,
that's the funny thing. If people have never been to a live show, like all of these guys look big, like bigger than you would think. But then, next to Brock Lesnar, you're like, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Brock Lesnar.
You're going to break him.
Yeah, holy moly. But that's also why Braun Strowman was so impressive, because when I went to No Mercy, Brock Lesnar is usually the person you go, Jesus Christ, to. And then Braun Strowman towered over this man.
What? He's a giant.
Crazy. Great match. And me and Kaori got that one right.
Yay!
Awesome. So that was Brock. Brock went over AJ Styles. So the Cameron and Kaori got points for that. I did not, because I took the gamble. If he locked it with me too, though, he went AJ. He always picks AJ. He's got to. Okay, so that's Kaori, and that's Cameron. All right, next match we have, and this is not in the match order. This is just listed. We had Charlotte versus Alexa Bliss. And that would be Charlotte going over, which we all picked.
Yeah.
Alexa Bliss did not win, but that was a good match.
Overall, very good match. Very good match. One little botchy moment. Charlotte missed a big boot, and they kind of had to both go like,
yeah,
let's keep going. But we're going to talk about botchy matches in a moment. I thought that overall this was a very good match.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that I would have been happy with either of them winning, but I thought that Charlotte was the one that should have for storyline purposes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came across really strong.
Yeah.
So we look forward to the cash in next month. Okay, so then we have Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, the men's match. This is Kurt Angle, Braun, Finn, Samoa Joe, and Triple H versus Shane McMahon, Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, and John Cena.
I love Nakamura's blue pants.
Yeah.
Those were fantastic.
He's like, I can't wear red today. Fine.
A lot of people, it was just like a finisher match galore. Like, they all got their stuff in. It was pretty
I love
neat.
How Cena and Triple H couldn't bother to wear Team SmackDown or Team Raw shirts.
I noticed, and John Cena didn't even wear blue. Not even blue, and he always wears blue.
He's like, I'm not doing that.
Exactly.
Randy Orton might as well not even been in this match. Did nothing. But the big thing about this match, of course, is the
RKO'd. Who did he RKO? It was Finn. No, yeah.
Yeah. Finn. But the big thing about this match, obviously, was the swerve at the end with Triple H. It was Kevin and Sammy getting involved.
Yeah.
With Shane. And then Triple H swerving, a pedigrees Kurt Angle, and then that amazing Braun Strowman thing that's already a great gif.
I think she's like Braun now.
And then just grabs Triple H.
I loved it.
Cool. Lot of great moments.
Did you see the moment when Triple H fell at the end?
We had to pull that up
to show out.
Yeah, I got to pull that up.
He'll pull it up. So obviously Team Raw coming out with the victory there. So that was a point for, I believe, Iffy and I both picked SmackDown. And so that would be Kaori and Cameron.
I think I picked SmackDown. I don't remember anymore.
Triple H bumps into the wall after Survivor Series.
That would be
This is so great. Oh, no. He's like, ooh.
Cameron and I picked Raw, and then that's right. You and Iffy picked. Okay, so
we gotta bring this up because this is my favorite thing that I've seen. The crowd.
He's so good at it.
We gotta watch him one more time because you see Triple H. Now watch Stephanie.
It's so great.
It's
She does the great wife girlfriend thing, like, oh, how can I help?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say, like, I thoroughly enjoyed this main event. However, it's kind of frustrating to see WWE rely so heavily on, like, older superstars.
Well, that's, you know, that's, I mean, the biggest issue now with the big four events. And so that's the difference between, like, the big thing is, like, the Attitude Era, they couldn't do that because all their old stars were at WCW trying to destroy the company. So, like, that's sort of the problem. So now you see that where, like, there is no other big, I mean, New Japan is amazing. There's all these wrestling companies, but there's not that other group that, like, Mick Foley and Stone Cold are at. You know what I mean? So anytime there's a WrestleMania, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, or SummerSlam, it's always like, let's bring out all the old people.
But, like, when you're left with Shane McMahon, Triple H, Braun Strowman, Randy, was it Randy Orton? Randy Orton. I'm like, are you kidding me? These are the left?
I don't disagree.
Braun. Hopefully it's just a way to build up Braun, because they seem to be building towards Triple H and Braun, which is kind of neat to see people putting over, like, it seems like they're all kind of, I mean, we'll see if it happens, but putting over Braun as a monster, because he's going to be, you know, the future.
Yeah. Well, Raw opened. We can talk very briefly about the going into Raw for a second. I mean, when Triple H came out with Stephanie, and Stephanie just shit all over Kurt Angle again. You're like, 30 weeks in a row. At least grab Triple H by the throat. Do something. Kurt Angle does nothing again. And then Triple H is like, I'm not scared of anybody. And then Braun's music hits, and Triple H sold it. Like, oh,
he sold it. Yeah, he's like, yeah, just the height difference. It was, yeah, very, very nice. Good way to sell the fear of him. So that would be Team Raw going over. We did that. Okay, we got that. Cool. All right. Cesaro and Sheamus versus The Usos.
This was a great match. Most of the matches were very good. I really liked this match.
They were very good.
I thought, like, there were some real high spots. There was some stuff that the Usos did that was like, yo, that must have hurt like hell. Jump over the rope tag and then hitting into the table. Cesaro and Sheamus looked great. This was one of those matches where I was like, man, on any other card, this would have been the best match of the night. But there was actually a lot of super strong matches.
I feel like the Usos are getting better and better and not ever, like, plateauing, you know?
Yeah. Like, this morning, like, Andy was like, remember the old Usos? I was like, they sucked. I hated them.
What's great is that because they are heels, although on this match, I think they were the faces of the match to some extent. But I think they are able to do, like Neville talked about this, whereas, like, as a face, if you do high-flying stuff, people are really into it. And as a heel, if you do high-flying stuff, people still will root for you, which is why Rollins, when he went full heel after disbanding the Shield, he didn't do a lot of high-flying stuff.
Yeah.
Because the audience naturally is like, oh, cool. And so I think being heels has kind of allowed the Usos to, like, do less high-fly off the top rope and more ground stuff. They're really talented dudes, so it's kind of, I'm really happy to see that they've had, like, a lot of great matches.
Fun on the mic too. I was cracking up when
they get to be themselves more, because, like, I definitely feel like they're getting to be themselves more and not just generic Samoan wrestlers.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Like, just the way they dress and everything. It's just more them. Totally. Yeah.
So we have, okay, so the Usos went over on that. That would be Cameron and Kaori picked that. So you guys each get a point. Congratulations.
Sweet.
Shield versus the New Day. I threw this pick because I picked the New Day. I knew that they weren't gonna win, but I still picked them. So the Shield, went over here.
Shield went over. Good match.
Were you able to see that match, Cameron?
Yes. Yeah, I did go back and watch this one.
This was the most boring match for me of the night.
Yeah, I will say. I thought it was good, but nothing, like, blew me away. There was nothing about it that I was like, oh man, like, that was just kind of the one. Like, it ended, and I was like, yeah.
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 Yep.
I'm probably in the minority here, but I'm ready for the Shield not to be together. I'm just kind of over them.
It's kind of, it's not as exciting of a reunion, to be honest.
Well, I think they kind of hit a weird speed bump, and now they don't have anybody to kind of go against, which is sort of the problem.
It was like, okay, you did the New Day, and it's like, those are the two biggest factions of, like, the last few years that you could possibly put together.
Yeah.
We'll
see what happens.
Okay, so the next we have, what was that after that? Then we have The Miz versus Baron Corbin. Surprising finish here.
I did not think Baron Corbin would win.
Yep.
I remember I watched it and I was like, what? And my friend who is a casual wrestling fan was, is that a surprise? I'm like, yes. Yes, it's prized.
I remember I was listening to John Pollock, and he was talking about how he's like, this was whatever. It was like, you know, Miz has very good matches. Baron doesn't, you know, and it's just.
Yeah, I would agree. This is also one that I was kind of like, this is fine. Like, I didn't hate this match. Okay. I was like, this is fine. Maryse being there, I thought they would use her a little more. I thought, especially also with Baron, like, calling to her. And I thought, oh, this is the Miz's match. So I was a little surprised by that. But yeah, again, like, totally fine. I love the Miz right now, but yeah, this was okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, like, the build up to this match with them and their little feud was fun, and then this match was not as fun as the build up.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yep. So next, exactly, because the promos were so good.
Yeah.
So Team Raw, this is the women's match. Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. That would be Team Raw, Alicia Fox, Nia Jax, Asuka, Sasha Banks, and Bayley versus Becky Lynch, Carmella, Naomi, Tamina, and Natalya.
Man, this was a botchamania match.
This match was insane.
Really?
Botch or not, I really, really enjoyed it. I love seeing Tamina go up against Nia. That was really cool.
I will say, I love there's moments in this match that I thought were great. I did like that. I thought that was great.
I like how Asuka pinned three of the ladies.
Oh, and here's the positives for me. Nia and Tamina going at it was great. Asuka looking very powerful was great.
The
rest of this match was so botchy and sloppy in a manner that I was like, what? And these are all like super professionals and it happens. But there was like moments where like Alicia Fox's getting eliminated. Everyone seemed confused by it. Like the ref had counted to three. Mm-hmm. And there was a moment where both the wrestlers, and there was that moment where you're like, oh, something else was supposed to happen here. Because the ref counted the three. So either Alicia didn't put up her elbow in time.
Yes,
and so there's a moment where it's like,
that was weird.
You're out.
and I think they were like Sasha didn't get in right away. So I'm like, that was not planned.
Yeah.
Something happened there. Nia getting counted out just feels like a lame elimination.
That was kind of tragic. Yeah, I want to see more of that.
I don't like
Becky getting out first,
and then Bayley first for her team. Mm-hmm. Like it just feels like these are the two women who should be. I don't know. To me, because Carmella has the Money in the Bank, storytelling wise, she should have been eliminated first because she's got that thing already that she could come back later on. And that should have, I guess, been the obvious sign that she wasn't going to cash in at that point because she was eliminated, like, what, third of her from her team? If she was eliminated first, I'd be like, yep, cash in's happening.
Yep.
Which is like the Seth Rollins loses to Randy Orton and then cashes in that night. I don't know. I just, storytelling wise, there was a lot of sloppiness here with great moments.
And I was okay with it.
Yeah.
It felt like a very agent heavy match. Like they had to stick to what the agents in the back told them, like, okay, you're going to do this, then you're going to do that. And then they probably got in their own heads about it and just sped up too many times. And just like, it was very, I agree. It was very just botchy.
I mean, and also like, if it didn't end the way it did, I would have preferred SmackDown to win. But because Asuka took those pins, I'm okay with it.
Oh, I'm very happy with how strong Asuka looked. It was just it also just felt like, it was one of those, the best way I can put it, why it didn't end up working for me. It felt long without actually being long. And I was just kind of like, oh, I'm not really, that means I'm not invested.
Because you
got rid of people I liked pretty early. I don't really, like, I'm sorry, they're very talented. I don't care about Natalya versus Alicia Fox at any point in this match. I'm like, this is the middle of your match. Why did you get rid of Becky Lynch and Bayley early?
Yeah.
Make zero sense. Yeah, two worst women.
I was hoping, and thank goodness that they didn't give Sasha like most of the pins because they always count on her to like get those.
I love that Tamina looked really strong. Yeah, like all the Tamina and Nia Jax thing. And I think that's the thing. I think that's why it's like it felt like the Tamina and Nia Jax thing. I was like, man, this is really great. And then for Nia Jax to get eliminated by a countout, I'm like, And it wasn't even like a count. It should have been a countout where it's like. Two people were counted out at the same time because they're just going at it.
Which is
that they used to do that in old Survivor Series where it's like, oh, two people got counted out at the same time and it's the big powerhouses. Mm-hmm. It should have been her and Tamina just punching the shit out of each other and they both go to 10 as opposed to like, it's like, oh, she rolled out 10. And I was like, wait, what?
Very silly.
So that's the problem. Is like I wanted to love this match. Like my favorite match from No Mercy was the five women. So it's not just like, oh, there's just too many people. Mm-hmm. I think you can do too many people. I just think, I think maybe it was over agent.
Yeah.
It was over like, well, these people are going to go first because people love Becky and Bayley and no one will see it coming. It'll shock people. And I'm like, but now you made the middle boring.
I'm just so confused at what's happening with Alicia Fox.
I think she's a veteran. They want to give her some stuff, but Iffy said it best. Iffy's talked about, like, the problem is that she's often a comedic character, and WWE never knows how to give comedic characters anything other than, I don't know, your comedy.
Yeah.
So you'll look good for a little bit, but you're going to lose, and probably because your own fault, because you're crazy.
So we have, so Team Raw, of course, went over. So that would be, the only one who picked that was Iffy. We all picked Team SmackDown, so Iffy gets a point for that. And then the final question, Carmella, does she cash in? We all said yes. Iffy said no.
Iffy said no.
Iffy gets a point for that. So actually, as far as just Survivor Series, Iffy and Cameron, you tied with both six, look at that. Collectively. So let me do the math here. So I got so four for TakeOver and three here, so seven. And I'm going to give Iffy four for TakeOver just because I'm going to tie him with the one with the most. Uh-huh. So that's four plus six. So he's got 10. Kaori, you have three plus five. You have eight. And Cameron, that is a nine. I cannot believe Iffy won. What?
I don't know if that should count after not saying anything for NXT.
That's true.
That's insane.
What is that? That's kind of crazy. Okay.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
Y'all in the comments, he never wrote
it's
anything.
It's a dirty finish. It's a dirty finish.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like it's him missing. He should get the person that got the, he should tie with the person who got the lowest amount for NXT. Not the most.
That's true.
What a trick.
Right? Yeah, that is true. He should. Yeah. So if he got three, so say he got three. So he's either tied or he wins. He's tied with you then. He's nine. Because you guys only
gosh.
Got three.
So. Me and him got to do something next week when he's back.
So what we will do
to determine the belt.
Doesn't attendance actually get Iffy back? We will fulfill the challenge. We will actually do the challenge. Whatever it is that we decide to do, it might just be a game. Or something that the winner gets to decide. But yes, because we want to do something safe, obviously. I might just eat a bunch of crackers and try and see how many I can go without drinking water.
Is that the cracker challenge?
Well, there's also hot peppers.
Hot peppers we can do. We'll do different things. So that we will save that for when Iffy is here, so we can do that. Like, because I was thinking about doing something where he can just do it on his phone, whatever. But it's more fun if he's here.
Yeah, that's true.
I want to give that to you guys. But for the art packages for the winner, we have two ties. I pull up the names right now, but these are the art packages that we'll be giving away. Again, I do want to go through and find one more, find the winner that has collectively predicted the right or the most for the last couple of pay-per-views for participation. The winners are, thank you, Pete, by the way, so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That is so great. Okay, so he tweeted at me. He told me, this pay-per-view, Jonathan Frost and Ripu Seladi tied for first with 11 picks. So those people actually got more than we did.
Ooh.
Yeah. So yeah, better than the rest.
Nice job.
So you guys, I will get your information. So I'll be messaging you guys and we will send these out to you. These are
Cool.
Yeah, these are our packages put together by myself, but art done by Andy, Mr. Andy Campbell. Yep, Andy Ravage on Twitter. Follow him there for more arts and silliness.
Awesome. So we'll real quick go through Raw and SmackDown. Obviously, both acted like nothing happened whatsoever. The night before Survivor Series, just everyone walked to the ring, went, "Yeah, I might have won and or lost, but you know, there's always another day." Anyway, because we're not feuding anymore with the other brand, let's just keep going as if nothing happened. The biggest things, I want to pull up this photo because this is an amazing, hysterical photo. So the biggest thing was the Paige returned. That was one of the biggest things. And also brought up some NXT people with her.
Sonya and Mandy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then on SmackDown, three more NXT call-ups. Yeah,
the same exact, like,
so
This is the photo I'm trying to find. Yeah.
It's so weird because, yeah. And so who are they leaving down there?
Yeah. Ember Moon.
Ember.
Then Peyton and Billy Kay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
those are the ones that I would have wanted to get.
Right, that's what people were saying.
So I'm going to find this photo because it's amazing. But and I think, Paige, happy to see her get called up because I think there, you know, we did talk about it, like with all the issues she's had, not counting the internet leak stuff, but just like her, how she's been with the company and things of that nature. There was definitely a degree of like, is she going to come up? Yeah, is she just going to get jobbed? You know, what are they going to do with her now? And I think they thankfully found having her come back like this big force of nature and seemingly maybe being the head of this new, what they're calling the women's invasion, I'm fine with.
It works right. in WWE's favor to have Paige yes. there, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Oh, in a big bad way.
Yeah. Yeah, she's the OG NXT girl.
Yeah, yeah. Except this is something that I have a gripe with, is she calls herself the anti-diva, but she is wears the most makeup. She looks like yeah. a Kim Kardashian now.
I mean, and to be honest, she was the most, like, on Total Diva, she was the one who would play the most drama in the storylines yeah, and all
so
that
she,
stuff.
So she's no longer 100%. An anti-diva.
You know, she really was the most, mm-hmm. she is what divas are.
Exactly. Were. Yeah.
Anti-diva to me is more like
AJ Lee.
Yeah, yeah. The OG, yeah. AJ
yeah.
Lee.
Yeah.
And the other big thing, too, was Roman Reigns is yeah. the new Intercontinental Champion.
They wanted to make it the Grand Slam.
It's so annoying.
It's the workers' title. I'm like, okay. It is the workers' title. That is my favorite title. Like, that is my favorite, and it breaks my heart.
It does look nice.
It's a great title.
To me, it's like, yeah, it's a symbol of, like, of somebody that is going to be great and that is working their ass off. So that's why when Kevin Owens had it, I was so, that was the best to me.
Yeah.
And so it kind of is a bummer, but whatever. It's Grand Slam. It,
this question mark on what's happening.
I'm not, but Reigns does work hard. Like, fair enough. Like,
yeah, yeah, he does work hard, and but there's certainly a degree
but
of like
a certain like you're not the hand chosen guy that have, you know, that's what that title means. That old picture of Braids cracked me up. I'm sorry.
No, but I agree. That's the thing. You want, because The Miz has been doing so well. So unless, like, at this point you're going to put him in the title picture, which I don't think they're going to.
Yeah.
So you're just,
yeah. Exactly.
You're kind of like, well, why take the title from him? Because like Miz and Reigns have been kind of feuding now for a little while. So I just don't know. But I guess, like, who else is Reigns going to go up against as far as the feud goes?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's one of those. It's a thing.
It's a thing, yeah.
It's certainly a thing. But what else? What, I mean, anything else I think happened on Raw and SmackDown that we feel like?
SmackDown. I mean, the whole show, SmackDown was built around. Oh, you're trying to find the woman thing.
I'm trying to find that photo. Yeah.
SmackDown was built around Kevin. And so the show opened with Shane coming out and pulling, you know, calling Kevin and Sammy out. Sammy is hilarious, by the way. His entrance to Kevin's music is just cracking me up, because it gets more and more exaggerated every single time.
I just love Kevin and
yeah,
Sammy
they're
together.
Great together.
They've come together, you know, rose together.
They seem to be teasing a little bit of the dissension that because what happened was they were put in a lumberjack match with the entire locker room outside of the ring against the New Day. So that would be Kofi and Big E in the ring, and then Xavier as the lead lumberjack outside of the ring. But it ended with everybody ended up brawling in the ring, because it's crazy when you have everybody out there.
Yeah.
And Sammy stole a win, rolled up, I believe it was Kofi, rolled him up for the three count. And then Kevin was like, come on, let's go. Tried to get him out of there. And he escaped. Awesome. But Sammy was left in the ring with the New Day and got beat down. And so it's kind of teasing how Kevin is a selfish friend again and only cares about himself. So we'll see if that grudge match does end up happening.
Yeah, I think it's going to be kind of interesting. What we were talking about that it does seem that they have it seemed to be like Sammy and Kevin were getting punished, and now it's like, oh, wait, maybe not. Maybe never mind.
Yeah. Yeah. They had the focus.
They had one of those in, like, one of, like, a Bleacher Report or something. They had, like, the, you know.
Oh, the Bleacher
Report? I know what you're talking about.
Great, yeah.
I think if you Google, like, Paige Return.
Who did Paige? So on Monday, I didn't catch Monday night. I watched SmackDown with it, because I usually pick SmackDown over Raw. So who did Paige come up with? It was Paige.
Paige came up with Sonya Deville,
okay,
and Mandy Rose.
Okay.
I keep wanting to say Mandy Moore for some reason.
Yeah, well, because it's ingrained, it's ingrained in our brain.
I know.
Yeah, right?
Mandy Moore.
Yeah, it's just ingrained in there. Well, the point of the photo, like, I can't seem to find it at the moment, but the point of the photo is, like, the joke was that WWE just did the exact same thing, which was having three women, one in the middle being Ruby Riott and Paige is the tattooed gothy one,
the
blonde one, and then the tall brunette. And someone put the photos together, and it is like literally the
exact. Yeah. Hands up.
So Cameron will find it later. Right? He'll put it on the Discord.
Yeah, I will put it on the Discord if I find it because it's really funny.
I think like Liv looks a lot like Carmella, like their style.
Well, it's funny because I mean she was the one that was dating Enzo that I got know. Cheated on, and that was the whole style, the character. You know, she's. Similar, you know, similar personality. Because I was like, when I first saw her, I was like, was that just another Carmella? I don't get it.
But, yeah.
But for Carmella, it was more fabricated and created for her, as opposed to the Morgans, more actually that kind of person.
It's kind of found it. Yeah, kind of close enough.
Someone put a bunch of yeah. So this is, yeah.
Yep. The same.
I mean, look at that, though.
The thing people said is like, good job, WWE, with your original ideas. This is literally Monday night, Tuesday night. It's like they just went, let's just copy paste. Don't worry about it.
I know that it's normal that they would put Paige back on Raw, but I just kind of wish she was on SmackDown instead. Because like the more like heavy hitter women's are on Raw, which is...
Yeah.
Yeah,
they need to even that balance
because yeah, exactly. When Ruby Riott came out, they attacked Naomi. Like Naomi is their biggest star on there.
Other than Charlotte,
yeah, because you're not gonna do that to Charlotte because Charlotte's got a program already. But yeah, so
I guess the other thing, AJ Jinder Mahal. That's
oh yeah, but Jinder's gonna get it back because they're going to India.
Well, no, actually, so someone. Well, they might, but what I had read, a friend of mine told me. That they did a survey, WWE did a survey in India to ask who was your favorite wrestler. And the answer was AJ Styles. It was not Jinder Mahal. So I think they're going to keep this feud going, but I think they're going to keep it on AJ. Yeah.
I mean, it isn't exactly fair to assume just because you're of a certain ethnicity.
Oh, not at all.
You're going to favor these people, yeah. You know?
Well, I mean, it's just patriotism would.
That's
would,
true. Yeah, I mean, I always root for Asuka and Nakamura. Yeah.
But they're talented wrestlers.
Yeah.
Fair.
They are of the race, but also very good. They are amazing.
Champion those people.
I mean, there's no offense against Jinder Mahal, but I kind of wonder if India's like, come on, man.
Well, speaking of Japan, isn't Hideo Itami back on 205?
205. He's heading to 205.
Yeah. And I love Tozawa in 205, too.
Oh, Tozawa's great.
Oh, he's I love his, like, yes, yeah. So great.
Oh, man, so good. But yeah, so those are the major things. Obviously, a lot of it's Survivor Series Fallout, and now we are getting ready for Night of Champions, which is the next pay-per-view. Yep.
We're building our way up to Royal Rumble, which is my favorite. Royal Rumble's favorite day of the year.
Okay,
the Royal Rumble.
So now that there are over 10 women per SmackDown and Raw, do you guys see like a Royal Rumble for women?
I better get one.
They are talking about that.
I better get some entrants. I don't want just one. I want a couple. I want a few. I want like I don't want it to be a funny little spot like what they did before.
Like when JBL came out.
Yeah. Well, that's funny. I mean, that's hilarious. That was actually very funny. But I just mean, who was it that came out and then was eliminated by kissing the Great Khali?
Yes.
Who would kiss Great Khali?
She just was inducted in the Hall of Fame last year.
Yes. The Glamazon.
Oh, God.
Everyone said
I
know the
Michelle,
comments.
I want to say Michelle McCool, but that's Undertaker's wife. There's...
did you Google Edge's wife?
No, I Googled Glamazon.
It has a map of a clothing store.
Beth Phoenix. She eliminated Great Khali with a kiss. She didn't get eliminated. She eliminated him.
Yeah, that's right. But that was like the whole thing is like the only way she was able to do it by distracting him by kissing him. I want Becky Lynch.
Yeah, they need to get rid of all that women distractions. That's something that they finally got rid of. Like for a while, it was like women distractions. It's like.
Maria Kanellis still the best at that though. Maria in New True. Japan was hilarious.
The poor Kanellises, man. They got this
call. Hey, but Mike got to put his back to the cam on hard cam with his jacket of Maria's face during the lumberjack.
True, very true.
I was like, he picked that spot so he could be like, my wife.
He knew what he was doing. All right, well, I think that's gonna bring us to the end of another Ready to Ramble. So next week, Ify is back. And,
yes,
So let us know in the comments what you want Janelle to do as a
we'll figure out like
wait, so she's the only one that does it? I thought like
no, we'll do it like the thing is we got to figure out so we'll have to do something we can and then we'll talk about it beforehand but Cameron and Ify will have to actually face off to see who actually takes this. It'll be very funny because if he's playing heel here, since he didn't pick anything for TakeOver, so we got to face in heel.
Full heel.
So.
But going around the horn, Janelle, anything you want to plug?
Follow me on Twitch and all the other social medias on at Janelle Santa Cruz and playing some competitive Overwatch and ranked with Andy and all that stuff, and it's very fun, and I yell a lot.
Great. Kaori?
Yeah, you can find me at KAORIOUS everywhere. And happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. As for me, twitter.com/JurassicAlien. Those are the major things. Obviously, I'll plug stuff over there. Y'all, go watch wrestling.
Join us on the Discord. Bye. Woo! Woo!